We're rolling.
Hello, hi. Ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Corridor Digital Podcast, episode 119.
Man. It's a surprise every time for everyone.
Yeah, it's a good home for news.
As we adjust
your source
our mic
for reliable news based on only facts by people who only study facts all day on global socio-political economic issues.
To our Google Drive.
Yeah. I just cleared 123 gigs off of Jordan's cache because they were all facts.
Yeah, they call us the Snowden of facts.
But I'm so hyped up right now because Matt and I were just playing speed chess. Oh,
my heart is racing
and,
still.
So I don't know if you guys know the tale, but so what happened was there's a Smash tournament that goes on multiple times a day.
Yeah, Jake is famously against it.
And I'm famously anti-SMA. Antishma. Yep.
Antishma.
And so during the Smash tournament, I purchased a chess table. And I had that put in the main room so that anyone who didn't want to Smash could play chess. And Matt and I were engaged in a very hype game of speed chess. And we were being audible about it.
Yeah.
And we got yelled at by the rest of the team because we were being too loud. In the work area.
Specifically the more vocal of the Smash players.
Yeah, one of the more vocal of the Smash players was very upset.
They said, shut up.
Oh, how the turntables.
Because,
turn it down.
Because, and now, you know, I just think karma. That's all I think.
Yeah.
Is it's like,
so
well,
are you satisfied now?
I'm a little bit more satisfied than I was. Yeah, and I didn't think that I was seeking vengeance, but apparently in my heart I was.
Do you think chess was more hype back in the day when that was like the only game they had?
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. So
I
was
I was also explaining the
the oppressive nature of the chessboard to Matt earlier today too, because it's based off of loosely off of like feudal structure, because you have the king and queen in the middle. And then you have the bishops who sort of tuck in the royalty, right? The church tucking in the royalty, protecting it on the inside. Yeah. And then, of course, on the outside of the bishops, you have the knights, members of the noble class.
It's really progressive.
And
though.
Then the rooks on the outside, the castle, and then the pawns in front. Of course, the cannon fodder.
Yeah.
The cannon fodder.
Yeah.
How is it progressive, Sam?
It's very progressive.
Let's get down to this.
The queen is the most powerful character on the map, and when you look at feudal society like that, royalty, courts, generally women weren't allowed in those types of structures, and yet here we are, chess.
That's
well,
true.
I think everyone has known the truth since time immemorial, which is that, you know, the man might be the head, but the woman is the neck, and the woman can turn the head any way she wants.
True.
Ooh, wow.
Ooh, what
you know
a,
what I'm saying?
What a statement.
What a statement. What a great metaphor.
Yeah.
Analogy.
Thanks.
Can that be the title of this podcast?
Sure.
People have asked for like a corridor chess set, like 3D print one, but I'm like, maybe we shouldn't go there. You know, like maybe we shouldn't categorize ourselves into this oppressive slash progressive model.
I don't know what it is.
Aggressive.
I still think though, like the medieval kind of stuff, you can romanticize that a little bit.
True.
You know, when you look at today's problems through that romantic medieval nature,
right.
You know, I think things get a little bit brighter. Mm. You know, wealth inequality becomes kind of a little bit more fun, though.
The simple
life
of an indentured serf
becomes more
working the land.
When you make a game of it, indeed.
It's only funny because
my bag of coins.
It's only funny because the majority of the world is not living in a feudal society. That's the only reason why it's funny.
Lord Bezos. Yes.
Yeah.
I petition you to raise my pay from 3 pence to 4 a day.
3 to 4? Are you mad? My God, man. That's like 25%. So anyway, speed chess. I think it's a thing now.
I think we should get a little 10 second time.
Isn't that like, hey, how did you turn this?
No, we came up with it. We just came up with it.
Oh, yes.
There's that little...
they're doing it faster, which makes it different.
And with a lot more screens.
There's that little metal timer with the metal particles in it, with the magnet.
Oh, it that broke, yeah.
Who shattered it?
With the metal
timer?
She put it there, and then you were like, whoa. And just knocked it off.
Because we can use that. That thing's only like 30 seconds.
That's true.
Well, dang.
Would have been a great one.
We'll just have to get another one.
Yeah.
We are going to have to get another one because I need to use it for this next Son of a Dungeon season.
Oh.
Okay. Every time everyone does move, I'm like, hey, timer. It's like,
that's good.
We
come
should,
on.
Yeah. We should do that.
It's like you talk for a half hour and then it's like 5 seconds in.
Look,
in
I don't
game
know
time.
If I don't know how you feel if I was one of the deliberators, talkers, sort of like slow players, but from my perspective, primarily Dee and Nico who were constantly debating what we should do next.
Yeah, but we've touched upon this in a previous podcast.
Okay. Well, one thing
but yes, you've cleared your name.
Okay.
Make it so. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah. Hey, so Spider-Man weekend, guys.
Yeah.
How about that?
Spider-Man weekend.
What a doozy.
I'm ready to never think about Spider-Man again.
I am happy to
I hope you are too,
a good
viewer.
Weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. I'm sure we've tired out all of the entire audience.
Debrief.
It's like 3 years worth of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
In like, yeah.
Not only two crew videos, two corridor videos as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of last
one of which ended up 18 on trending.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah.
That was planned, by the way.
Not Spider-Man. Ended up 18 on trending.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
It's so funny.
And we didn't even release that video at the time we made it for fear that it wasn't very good.
I mean, if you watch the video and you're like, this is a video, I personally was like, this is not, I mean, it could be, it needed some work.
Did
it needed
well?
Some work, but the thing is, it aged so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it aged it's just so ripe. It's it was from the private reserve cabinet of videos that we keep unopened videos
deep in the vault
that we're like, we're gonna save this for a special occasion.
It was like a $2 Bitcoin we had in our wallet that we forgot about.
Yeah.
Now it's like it's
a crude
it's
value.
The time let's cash in.
Right.
Yeah, it's just the flavors, they settled, they mingled.
True.
I thought it was like whiskey where it doesn't like get better with age, unless it's in the barrel, but no, it's wine.
Well,
maybe it was whiskey in a barrel or wine, wherever wine resides, in a bottle.
Or in a barrel. Yeah.
Anyway, metaphors aside, I wasn't here for this video, for the creation of this, this is. What was the moment like? Because I'm sure there was like a release date, right?
You're talking about Not Spider-Man.
Not Spider-Man, yeah.
Why did it not happen?
There was a release date, right? And you guys had to like actually make a call.
Well, tell you, I'll make super straight up. Like, I was on paternity leave when they were trying to finish it up.
Okay.
And it was really stressful, like seeing this video. And I was like, guys, are you gonna like make this better? And so I'm just like there, like powerless, away from everyone, and it's just like, guys, please don't release this. Is like, if you're not gonna at least give it that one extra level of like, just, making it settle. I was like, please don't. Let's put this in the barrel.
Okay.
It was your call, wasn't it?
It was your call. I threw a little baby fit about it.
The gustiest Gorski wins.
It was not a very big fit. It was more like I don't think this is releasable right now.
And then we sent it out in the direction of the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes.
And it was lost.
Fell beneath the sea.
It was lost for years.
It was lost for years until an archaeologist or a diver found it and popped that cork.
Yeah, whose idea was it even to bring it back out?
Well, it was because when we were filming the Andrew Garfield debunk.
Yeah.
It came up. So, yeah.
Well,
they're like, Spider-Man. That sounds very. Haven't we made a Spider-Man video? It's like, yeah. It's like, no, haven't we made two Spider-Man videos?
We made three, technically.
Dude, there's so many Spider-Man videos.
We made three Spider-Man videos.
I did all the metadata on the wrong Spider-Man video last weekend. I did all the metadata. I'm like, shit, this is the wrong one.
Wait, this is the wrong Spider-Man. But half the tags got us applied. Spider-Man, webs.
Spider-Man, every variation
on which one?
Eight?
No,
eight.
I put all... I on the React.
Oh.
I put the R-rated metadata and vice versa because it was just like
that's so funny.
My brain was just like puddle. I was like Peter's Spider-Man. Just
there
like
was so much Spider-Man. So I can't. I mean, and then the timing for them to drop another trailer.
Yeah.
On the same day, or the right around the same day. Was just the sort of the,
I know
the
trailer came out
cake.
Like I don't care about Spider-Man. I was like, I didn't even watch it. It's just like I love the
have
first
you noticed
movie.
How adamant people are now about including the dash.
What's the dash?
Spider
Dash
Man. Because back when we did like the anatomically correct Spider-Man and when we recorded Not Spider-Man, the dash concern was not in the public consciousness. And now if you release a thing without the dash, there's going to be multiple commenters who tell you that the dash is necessary. Yeah.
That's
like,
fine.
It's like Latin X.
Wow.
But the problem is the moment I see the word SPI, my brain starts to click off. So I don't get far enough to finish those kind of comments. I was like, Spider, oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, no, wow. it's really, every fandom goes so deep. And like,
that's people great.
Were commenting like the most nitpicky stuff. And it's like, guys, literally Marvel's removed every bit of stakes from their whole universe by making infinite universes. So why are you getting hung up on one little continuity error? Because literally it's like, oh, Thanos, he kills all the people and then they all come back. Stakes removed. Let's take any bit of intensity out of our whole cinematic universe.
Well, they can't kill a main character.
Yeah. No, of course not.
Then it's canon. Even though you can just bring him back in a different...
Robert Downey Jr. is like, I'm done.
But in one universe, he's not. So.
But in one.
Yeah, they'll recast him and it'll all be the
same. They'll recast him for sure.
I mean, I think it would be hard to like be the same character in a movie series for like 13 years or whatever.
Well, I think the line too between like movies and television is so blurry now when it comes to Marvel.
Yeah.
I think in general, though, like that's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good thing. It's also the multiverse is kind of fun to explore as like a third party because it's like it's kind of canon. Like it's all sort of canon in a multiverse.
They made it canon.
They made everything. Everything's canon now.
Precisely.
You just say it's in an alternate.
The multiverses are like the craze right now.
Yeah,
Invest in multiverses. Right?
Yeah, multi-coin.
Like, they're doing it for Wonder Woman. They did it in like that WandaVision show briefly with that Quicksilver actor. They're doing it in Spider-Man. They're doing, I mean...
Loki.
People just go Loki, crazy over actors being characters working together.
They're like, dude.
They're like, let's mix this.
Yeah.
Where did it start? Multiverse. I feel like it's Rick and Morty really started it to a point where it's like, oh, now the general audience understands multiverses.
I think Star Trek technically started it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Or I mean,
for me,
did they have like crossover episodes in Star Trek where they had like different like characters from? Well, it was just the idea of like, all right, we have all these Star Trek shows, but then the characters from these different like Enterprises or space stations then have like a crossover episode where it's like you're like, whoa, like it's not technically a multiverse, you know, but it's like that concept of these are two separate shows and then we're gonna have the characters, you know, like they're still canon in the same universe. I don't know, like, but that's all it's just like pure fan service, but the thing is it works.
Oh yeah,
you're like, whoa, my eyes, my mind just got opened.
We should discuss whether or not this is a good or a bad thing.
I just think it's a horrible thing for any stakes in a story. Like I can never watch another superhero movie now and feel anything because it's like, well, if everyone dies, then there's a universe where they didn't die. So what's the point?
It kind of ruins it.
The key to that is to make a story that's not like dependent on whether everyone dies or not.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can find superhero movies where that isn't, but.
But that like that's the Rick and Morty thing, though. Like that is the Rick and Morty part of it, which is like, okay, sure, there's infinite Ricks and Mortys, there's infinite multiverses, yet still they manage to have a compelling story for each episode.
I think the way they accomplish that is by having central characters that are the only ones of their kind. And that rings true with the Marvel multiverse too, where it's like the Rick and Morty world, there's only one, like, you know, Rick and one true
Rick and
Morty,
like,
right?
They actually died and came back multiple times.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Like I remember seeing an episode recently that was like in the fourth season that is like, I was like, I lost track of like which one was the real one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If you've been watching this podcast for a while, you already know what time it is. It's time for me to tell you about today's sponsor, Storyblocks, but let's cut a little bit deeper. Let's flip it over to the B side because, you know, I usually tell you about how Storyblocks is your one-stop shop for all your stock asset needs for creators and businesses alike and how they have high quality 4K B-roll images, audio, motion graphics, After Effects templates, and more. But what does that mean really? What it means really for us is it means that when we need something to glue videos together, we just go to Storyblocks and we download what we need from there. And I can't express to you how important it is to have a tool like this if you're serious about creating videos. Carmichael and Nick used to go out and get B-roll for the early vlogs. This was pre-Storyblocks. And they used to go out and it would take them like a long time because you gotta get the shots and that just takes time. And what you want to do is put more time into the thing that makes your video original and stand out, and utilize story blocks to fill in the gaps where you just need to have an image to explain something, or you just need a template to do something quickly. That's what we use it for. It's a great tool. They have a virtually unlimited library, as you guys probably already know, meaning that you're always going to find something new there. It's constantly being updated. They have an unlimited all-access plan, which is the plan that we use. They also have enterprise plans for teams. Under either one of those plans, you can download as much as you want, use it however you want, and then move on with your day. That's what I want to tell you guys about. It's a great tool. They're a huge sponsor to this podcast, and they're going to be sponsoring Corridor Crew next year. So I'm very excited about that. I can't wait to just get the word out to a larger audience. But anyway, you're a Truton, so you already know. So if you're interested in getting Storyblocks for yourself, head on over to storyblocks.com/corridorcast and get signed up over there. That's storyblocks.com/corridorcast. Now back to the podcast.
I agree with Nick.
Yeah.
It ruins it for me.
Okay.
Without like the risk of, I mean, they're superheroes. They're fighting bad guys from other ethereal planes and other places of existence that come to Earth for all sorts of nefarious purposes. And then they're supposed to defend Earth, right? They're like the best ideals of ourselves. And there's no risk of death. It's sure. Like, well, what do you mean?
Then I ask a question to you. Would the existence of multiple dimensions ruin your current life?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, definitely, right? That would fuck us all up.
That would destroy anyone's life.
This is the only reality.
So, what is that a Stephen Hawking thing, right? Where it's like, hey, there's multiple dimensions.
Well, sure there are, but we can't access them.
Okay. So, yeah. But, okay, so until you can access them, like once you can access the multiverse, life meaningless. Look,
mm-hmm. I don't sleep easy at night knowing, you know, if I jumped off a bridge tomorrow, I'd just be okay in another multiverse.
Yeah, like, but that's different though, because that's a different you still. Like from an audience's perspective, Spider-Man can die as long as like Tobey Maguire's still
also,
alive.
Also, like outside of like, you know, the theory of alternate universes, like the truth of them is like what? We don't know. So that's more like,
well, actually, to think about it's it in a funnier way, multiverse, life doesn't matter. Well, if there's multiverses and multiple dimensions, it's like as a viewer of those multiple dimensions, all those other lives don't matter except yours. Mm-hmm. And it's the same for everyone. So if like, I'm like, Jake, your life does matter because there's a million.
There's a
Jakes,
million me.
And then you're like, no, I'm still me. But you, Sam, there's a million other yous. So it's like, it's all just like a super selfish, like perspective on everything.
Do you think they do that in the movies?
They should.
In the Marvel movies?
Maybe I think nothing that's what matters in life or in the multiverse.
He's like, yeah, I mean, Spider-Mans are like,
maybe it's actually,
it's like, no,
realistic.
I'm the real Spider-Man.
So it's like narcissistic and nihilistic all at the same time.
Yeah, kind of is. Kind of would be.
That's sad.
It is kind of sad.
What do you think Spider-Man feels when he sees like 20 other Spider-Men? Like, is he like, I'm worthless now? Because
whose life shall I replace?
Precisely. It's like, what makes me so special?
That's the point of the trailer. It's like his life gets messed up by Doctor Strange, so he has to go take over Andrew Garfield's movie franchise and make it better.
I really hope they accomplish
Thanks
that.
Thanks for explaining that to me. I don't know, man.
I wonder how much pressure the writers are under to like write a very specific thing. Who's actually writing this?
A very large panel.
Of judges.
Multiple people, probably.
Be a kind of amazing, though, to think about that. Like,
imagine
that quote-unquote writing process. Because like all these Disney and Marvel films are like, okay, so yeah, you have a script, but then there's like a million people who review it. Mm-hmm. And then there's like storyboards and like video boards and previs.
Not to mention, you
basically make the movie before it's made, and then you review that. And then a bunch of producers and the writers and directors all review that, and then you film it, and then you show it to people, and then you film it again. You reshoot half the movie,
yeah.
Until so you have this like crazy amount of iteration to create this like, it's like. It's pristine, you know. It is kind of like it's a machine that makes
it's just meat.
It's like artificial
grinder,
diamonds,
dude.
You know, in a way.
Right.
Where they are flawless, mm-hmm. but they're not natural.
Do you think they pair every writer with a lawyer?
Oh my god. Like,
all right, guys, you guys go write the next Spider-Man movie. We got 1 month.
There's just a lawyer that stands over them.
Because there's like... so much, well, not only like canon that they... Well, I guess it doesn't matter now if they change shit because there's multiverses, so hey, fucking who cares? But there's so much like legal boundaries and like overstepping that has to be accounted for. They must have like lawyers write these scripts.
Do you think we can just like throw it all out and then start with new characters?
No.
We're banking on that nostalgia, bro.
Look, man.
It's all decades. About that nostalgia. Well, and yeah, that's another
superheroes
thing.
That were invented, what, 60 years ago?
Yeah.
Those are the only ones.
Right.
Okay.
Those are the only
ones.
We're
gonna dig deep.
Yeah.
We're gonna
find
the most obscure superheroes.
Right.
And we're gonna make a movie about it.
Yeah. The nostalgia is so profitable though, too, is the thing. Yeah. It's like, I mean,
the Norse gods they came out with thousands of years ago that they're still like worshiping.
Isn't that funny?
We could be creating like new pantheons of deities.
Isn't that funny
every
though?
Year,
like you talk about
every
like,
year there's a new pantheon to worship.
Like Norse gods, right? You got Thor, you got Loki, you know.
No, sorry, I'm just making a dumb joke.
You got the whole thing. But like those, it's just like we took all these principles from like our own existence, and then we were like, what if we just like put a mirror between, or like a pane of glass between like where we actually get these stories and these ideals about these characters, and we'll just like tint it this way, and then people will like it again.
Right.
That's why Spider-Man's cool, because it's not appropriating any culture but spiders. Okay. Like, it's not trying to go.
I'm not trying
to
diss like they're appropriating spiders.
No, they're kind of appropriating New York culture.
Yeah. In like the most stereotypical way. Like
anything appropriates it.
Very true.
Oh man.
Anyway, look, I don't mean to be salty. Look, it's not my cup of tea, but everyone loves it, so that's good.
You're one of those like quotes.
I'm glad
Nick
that people watch it and are into it because it keeps it keeps
well known
going.
In this office.
Said it. Superhero movies suck.
No, man. I just wish there were more like actual big budget movies being made these days with original ideas. Everything's rebooted. I loved Dune. I loved it, but it's also a reboot. Mm-hmm. It's been done so many times already.
Yeah,
and it's like. No one's willing to put big
money
into...
Well, they're too expensive now.
I know.
That's the problem.
Yeah. They're cheaper than ever in a way because you can do so much digitally. And it's like, I feel like there's no excuse not to be putting into movies what everyone's putting into like these series that get watched.
Well, let's talk about this for a second because this is important and I don't think a lot of people know this, but there are big studio movies and those are sort of in a category of their own when it comes to the scale, the cost, how they're made, who's involved, how they get written, how they get distributed, all that stuff. And those are like the 100 million plus, you know, films. And but my when I was saying like they're too expensive, it's like when you're only releasing, you know, 5 of those a year, like you one of those is 20 to 25% of your budget for the year. And if it doesn't, you can literally, as a studio executive, you can literally bankrupt the entirety of Warner Brothers, the entirety of Disney. Well, not the entirety of Disney, but a substantial portion of the entire business can be sunk on
risk.
Like a couple bad films. Mm-hmm. That's how expensive these things are. And so they can't take any risk.
But yeah, that's the thing, though, is like there are, like, I was reading an article that actually was addressing this specific subject where they're going, hey, actually, you know, we're complaining about original IP and theaters and filmmaking, and it kind of points out, oh, hey, by the way, check out this. All those streaming services like Amazon Prime and Netflix and stuff, they are technically doing that right now. Like, what was it, that one wacky one we saw with the little...
There's a ton of original stuff.
With Chris Pratt, what is it called? Forever, Tomorrow, War.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... Technically, that's an original IP, you know, and like these streaming services they are. So, but like they're not like the, you know, 200 mil kind of things, but it's like they're technically happening. It's just that they suck, you know.
Just to piggyback on that for a second, like,
why wasn't the Tomorrow War? Why doesn't it hit the same vein if it's other than because it's not a great script?
Good question. I think it's just because it's not hyped up enough and it's not presented in a way.
Well, I think it's not hype.
Well, there's a couple things. It's not a national distribution in a theater. There's not a classic 2 week prior ad campaign that splashes everything both on physical billboards, television,
so are you just nostalgic
digital
for ad campaigns?
No, I'm saying this entirely. That machine used to operate like at all levels of filmmaking,
yeah,
depending on how successful the film was. Now that machine only operates at that highest level of studio production, and everything else under $100 million, that's all been moved over to digital.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
and Netflix isn't going to waste money to do a billboard ad campaign, although they do them in Los Angeles still, but that's only because there's industry people here. They're not going to splash like every freaking platform they can do.
Yeah,
marketing.
I'm not gonna say they should either. I'm just saying like it's technically happening, but yeah.
All I'm saying, like, it's hard to boil down my, I guess, gripes, but like
we just want better movies.
When
man.
I say the hype, no when I say the hype though, it's like you don't see hype over original IPs like you do over superhero movies.
I would argue that something like Squid Games insanely hyped.
Yes,
it's actually the most effective kind of advertising was that word of mouth, like social media advertisement of Squid Games that like was like so effective to get the thing, you know,
yeah, sure,
insanely popular.
But that's not like a studio film, like foreign, like that was a diamond in the rough for sure.
Yeah,
I agree. It's also kind of a rehash of Battle Royale, but we won't go there. But
I mean, is anything not a rehash of something else?
There's iterations of things, but right? Like you don't see as many risks being taken, because yeah, like one bad movie can bankrupt your studio or two.
Yeah,
but they would take enough risks to diversify that so that they'd also have some bangers, and that would make them a lot of profit. So
that's just not how they're built anymore.
I know.
And so the nice thing is that the streaming platforms have taken over that role.
Of course.
Yeah,
but it's now quantity over quality, I think.
Oh, totally. Like it totally is. But that was kind of the game before the digital era came to be, too. Like, you had a bunch of movies that were mid-budget movies, you know, from the $15 to, like, $80 million films that were being... dozens and dozens of those were being produced every year. And they would do... Some of them would take off, some of them wouldn't. I mean, that's been the same, I think.
The low-budget horror movie genre is still very much...
Well, yeah. I mean, low-budget horror, though, again, is in its own class of film.
Yeah.
It's like... And you don't.
Those
need,
will always sell.
They will because you make them for cheap enough. If you make it for $500,000 and it sells for $5 million, then you just made, you know, ten times your money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think the point remains, you know, which is that there's not there's no risk being taken, and that just sort of, who knows how long that'll last? I don't know.
It's like the only original content being made is for people that are captive audiences already. It's like, oh, we have a billion subscribers. Cool. We'll make them content. But we know we're going to get clicks probably on it, you know, and if we don't, then we won't renew the season. Everyone will move on to the next thing we give them. And then we'll reboot obscure comic book movie.
A little bit of that is just the game.
I know.
Of
course it is.
Though.
And I understand that.
We make VFX artists react every week too, you know,
but if it didn't perform well, we would stop making it.
Yeah,
like 100%. Exactly. We wouldn't just make it in a vacuum.
I know that's the game. I'm not saying like, oh, we need these auteurs to only make the finest films. And like, I know this is a common thing that people say. Really, I'm just fucking tired of people going around in superhero costumes. So that's what it boils down to.
Well, yeah.
They're just going to be in some other costume if it's not superheroes.
True. Yeah, I mean, like Chris Pratt in some tack gear fighting aliens.
Look, Nick, you can't, this is going to sound.
Is that Guardians of the Galaxy or?
Wasn't that a Tomorrow War?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I think
this is going to sound pessimistic of me.
Yeah.
But you can't blame, you know, if you look at the brainless society as a whole, like you can't blame it for being such at the same time. Like, and I'm not talking about anyone individually. I just mean like there will always be an element of society that's just like, remember when you were 12 and it was like Abercrombie and Fitch was cool and you just wanted Abercrombie and Fitch just so that you could be like everybody else? Like it's about it, that will never go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
For sure, man. Look, hype, there's hype and I totally get it. People need heroes. Okay.
People need heroes.
People need heroes.
This is more than ever.
This is now more than ever. This is what they tell themselves, though.
In times like these, in these trying times.
Oh, dude.
People need a hero.
There is definitely people that are in these rooms that are making decisions on these films that are saying that and believing it.
No, they do. And it's paying off for them. They're like, heroes. See? Put them in our wallet. See? Let's go.
They needed heroes.
Yeah.
See all this money?
And we're going to give them heroes. God damn it. That's why I love The Boys, man. It's just, it sums it all up.
Yeah.
That's true.
Shout out.
It's more, you know what bothers me more than the films?
I guess
films?
You see the new Spider-Man movie.
What bothers me more than the films is that perspective about people. What bothers me more than the films is the perspective of like, we know what you need. Let us tell you how you're going to be.
What if I told you that making movies was really hard?
It is.
And the reason there's not as all these sweet original movies is because there's not a lot of people
Freaking
to make
hard.
Them, and it's hard to do it.
Yeah.
And they'd much rather make a reboot of something they know they can make decently than coming up with something from scratch.
That's...
Well, we know that.
Totally valid. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, I don't know. Like, I can only dunk on Marvel so much. Because it's like...
They're winning. So any dunking we do is very irrelevant. But
they're like, ha.
They're killing the game.
Did you see that corridor cast?
Yeah.
With all 12 people watching it.
Thank you, all 12 of you.
No, look.
Appreciate it.
It's great. Dune was great.
I'll take a fresh...
Fresh cores, baby. Let's
go. I'll take a fresh
I brought my bushel straight from the river.
Oh, look at you, son.
No. I don't mean to be pessimistic.
Let me pose this question to you folks. Is originality synonymous with characters that you are familiar with?
It's inherently not, right?
Yeah, originality
at its core of the word that you're using, like original, cannot also be familiar.
It can't be familiar, right?
Well, I think to a certain extent, it cannot be. But thanks,
like a lemon kind of guy.
In order for it to be relatable,
oh yeah, I'll take one.
Like if I just made up gibberish words,
can you still tell an original story while using characters we're familiar with?
Well, so there's a...
Yes.
Personally, there's a couple things about that. One, you can't tell an original story. Like, not holistically. It's impossible. Because everything like, about...
Stripped down to
everything
the
about
beams,
your human
sure.
experience yeah. is like a story. But more generally, I think you can tell an original story without it. Yeah.
Yeah,
but there need to be things about it that like people can understand. Otherwise, it won't. Otherwise, it's just gibberish.
What's the best movie you saw this year?
That's a good question,
is it Dune?
Man.
It might be.
You know, I've been watching some old John Wayne movies. And
really?
Some of them are actually pretty good. Some of them are not. Some of them are not. But there's this one where he goes to Ireland. To like, I forget what it's called, The Silent Man. And he goes to Ireland to like, because his family died or whatever, and he goes to Ireland to like reconnect with his roots. Mm. And it's pretty good. Mm. It's not bad.
I watched the like HD Blade Runner they just put on, the director's cut or whatever.
Okay.
And that was the first time I'd actually watched that movie front to back.
Oh.
And that was fucking amazing.
Compared to Dune?
I mean, Dune was also really amazing. And
what did you enjoy more? Like what got you more excited and like got you more like involved?
I think Blade Runner, personally. Okay. Just because everything was like so textural and like rich. It's so rich. And it's like that's a movie that can only be achieved today. But Blade Runner looks like a movie that could be achieved today, but it was made like so many years ago.
I think Blade
ago.
Runner also has technically a better story
so
than
good.
Dune, but
it holds up.
Yeah. I also personally, there was something about Blade Runner 2049 that like I didn't like.
Mm.
This is no slight against how much incredible artistry went into it. I do not mean that at all.
Sure.
I mean, it was like it was so unfettered that it was almost like a Stanley Kubrick movie where it was like he'll just focus on a shot for way too long and you're like,
yo, why am I still watching this shot? You know, they're like, but look.
I love the movie, but like the first 15 minutes, I freaking hate.
Of 2049.
Yeah. Just like long shots of him standing in this empty house, mm-hmm. and like creaky floors.
It's like, I get it. He's alone. Like, it's apocalypse. Can we move on to the next plot point?
It's amazing after that point, but I was just like, come on.
Right.
Yeah. Come on. It's like this old engine of like this beautiful car right. that you're just like trying just like, to start. And then, but once it's going, it's great.
Yeah. And honestly, they won because that got that emotional reaction out of me. And then all of a sudden I'm sitting there like watching it, waiting for the next shot. Like, fuck is gonna happen, you know,
waiting for it to cut.
They got me good. I tried to watch Dune 3 times, and every time I try to watch it on HBO Max, it won't load.
Oh,
what? And I've tried restarting
reinstalling
the app.
Yeah, what about you, like, Matt,
think Corridor Digital is jank, just know that HBO Max isn't doing much better. Problem. Okay,
year in review, Matt.
Best film goes to.
Well, my friend, I have to say, Dune is an incredible movie. However, something that really captured my attention is Pig.
Mm. Nicolas
Cage.
Yeah.
Did you see the Pig?
No,
it's got an incredible cover art.
It's
it
a hell of a movie.
Watch it.
It's really, it's a
it
movie
out.
That's like very simply told, but told it so efficiently. I'm
we'll
a big fan
out.
Of it. Definitely, I recommend anyone watch
that's
it.
That's cool.
It's a fun one.
It's like John Wick with a pig.
Not really.
Okay.
No. It's you expect
that's an original story.
That is
how you come up with original stories.
Yeah. I don't know why I think of it like that, but like yeah. I was like, all right, Nick Cage and there's a pig.
Yeah. It is Nick Cage and a pig.
Like, dude,
are they friends?
John Wick with sand?
Isn't he a truffle hunter who like falls on hard times
yeah.
and he has to go murder some people?
It's literally just an exploration of a character, and it's okay. really well done.
Dude, I'm going to check that out. Those are my jams.
Yeah,
I like those.
That's a real fun one.
Yeah.
In a really soul-crushing kind of way, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's kind of got to be if it's going to draw you in.
Yeah.
Nick Cage, what a national treasure, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When he hits...
Are you being punny? Or
No, he's great. Like... Yes and no, though. Like, he is a national treasure. He's just, what a gem. Like, when I love the movies that you just see on Netflix that have his face on the cover, and you're like, I know Nick Cage is going to be in this for 5 minutes. Sweet. They got him for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Those are the best movies to watch. And you just fast forward till you see him, and he phones it in every time.
He is one of those national treasures. And, just to talk about Alec Baldwin for a second.
Oh, let's do it.
Okay, here we go.
He is also becoming his own national treasure. He had the audacity to say that he didn't pull the trigger.
Oh.
He went and did an interview after this.
Dude, wow.
Being like,
it seemed in very bad
taste.
Did you
pull
so
the trigger?
Soon.
And he was like, No. I didn't. No. I would never point a gun at another pull the trigger.
Well,
it's like, dude,
happened?
How did it go off then?
It's
okay to admit you didn't know. It's not your fault. There's no intentional harm done. Like you didn't have the bad mind to like commit the crime.
It's not
like
it matters.
It's a mistake. It's a
it's not like it matters.
It's a tragedy.
Yeah, yeah. Like someone gives you a fucking stack of dynamite and it blows up and you're like, did you push the plunger?
I didn't know.
He's like, no, it just blew up.
Yeah.
It's like, what were you doing with it?
Right.
What did you do to the dynamite that made it explode? It's like, it doesn't matter anymore.
He
how?
Legit had the audacity. Like, he think like you're such in your own world that you think human beings are so fundamentally stupid that they don't know
that
it could just like go. It can't just go off.
Yeah. They made a whole, like, what is it, like an hour-long freaking interview with him?
Yeah,
I couldn't watch it, man.
Which felt like, I just watched the first, like, minute of it, and, like, they had, like, a little sizzle reel at the beginning, and it showed, like, Alec Baldwin crying and stuff. Yeah. And just like all of like
the sizzle
the freaking
reel,
publicity stunt shit.
It was like propaganda.
Literally, it was
like
him
classic
flashing
Hollywood
tears.
Shit.
Yeah,
did you guys watch
classic
Entourage?
Propaganda to like
seriously.
Absolve him
yeah. seriously.
Emotionally.
All I imagine is Ari Gold from Entourage calling up, what's his name, be like,
yeah.
okay, we got to get you soon, like right off the plane. You're going to do this 60-minute special.
How do you
It'll
think they get
name.
Those ideas? Because that stuff happens.
At the end of the day, he's a producer on the film.
Propaganda, man.
He's a producer on the film, and he should take responsibility for it. That's my
And look, it's there was no crime done, not by him anyway. It's like there was a bad round in there. How it got in there, you know, is a whole separate thing. But in terms of your culpability legally, like you did nothing wrong. So why don't you just say, like, look, I was handed this. I did what I was supposed to do in the scene, and it was an incredible tragedy and an accident, and that's it. No one's going to be like, yeah, but... And if they do, then clearly they're not even somebody who can have a rational thought about this whole situation. Mm-hmm. So then their opinion doesn't matter.
It's crazy how much it's being politicized, you know?
Oh, like, my God.
Alan Baldwin, or Alec Baldwin, liberal who hates guns and you shoot, you know, everyone's using... It's right. Just on both
just
sides.
Another
it's ridiculous.
Fucking tool.
And then on the other side,
for
it's
the
like...
the tools to tool.
Yeah, dude. On the other side, it's like...
Shameful.
Oh, we can never use any pyrotechnics on set anymore. Do you,
right.
Sam, as someone who's worked with pyrotechnics, I'm interested to hear your opinion of that. Like, do you think... We should just stop using them entirely and go to VFX.
In my opinion, everyone's a fucking idiot. The George Carlin quote, what was it? I keep reading it. It keeps popping up, which is like, imagine how stupid the average person is and then realize that there's like half of the people in the entire world that are stupider than them. Like, oh, all I, like
that's,
the whole
that's true pessimism right there.
Yeah,
that's true pessimism.
No, but like, I don't give. It's stupid. Like, whatever. Someone died.
Right.
Whatever. Like... It's sad.
Yeah.
Don't do it again.
Right.
Well, I don't know what to say.
No,
like,
you don't have to say
there's
anything.
There's so many dangerous things in the world.
Yeah. It's just like.
Don't have cars on set.
Right.
How about that? Let's start right. there.
Let's start there.
Cars probably injure way more people than.
Oh, man.
Cameras injure way more. Cameras injure and kill way
like,
more people
on set
every year.
I'm not trying to be heartless, but it's mostly because I'm just fed up with listening to politicians in general. Right. And then also everyone like. I mean, but what? Here's the thing. It's over. Like, we're talking about it. Everyone had their like moment on Twitter where they're saying we are never using blank firing weapons yes. on our set again, visual effects only, and now we win.
Have
and
people,
it's like,
have,
good,
have
bravo.
People,
look, they're going to get those it. Effect shots back and be like, fuck, dude, we should have just done it. We should have just done it.
Have people not realized that about Twitter yet?
I think
yet?
The situation with him dude, shouldn't affect
do they really not
people's
know that
opinion
like...
on whether they should be using whatever they want to do on set. It's the only thing it should influence is people's opinions on who they have on their set.
Mm-hmm.
That's
sure.
really
Thank
what
you.
It comes
That's
down
reasonable.
To because there's going to be dangerous yeah. things that happen on sets every day, and you just want to make sure there's the right person, you know, in control of that situation.
What
you don't want to hire an old freaking dude who can't pull someone's weight on a rope for a wire stunt because
right.
yeah. they'll drop him.
Right. What bothers me, the, what bothers yeah. me about it, and with the whole thing that you were saying, Nick, which is just like everyone tries to take a bite at the. You know, everyone wants their pound of flesh from the tragedy. And every time something like this happens, it becomes something where everyone goes into their shouldisms about what how everybody should act based on one frickin' thing that is just another inherent danger from a particular type of industry. And it's just yeah. it's just like, yo, why? Why do we got to do that? I don't know.
And how many blanks have been fired on set or explosions put off on Michael Bay movies or whatever that have gone off without a hitch?
Yeah, well,
there's been a lot of injuries.
Well, you sat there and coughed up your $20 to sit there and see it and go, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
there's been deaths, too, with blank frag guns.
All the time.
Not the first one.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to...
The last one was 30 years ago.
This thing wasn't even blank firing.
Which is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It was an actual round.
To the point of, like, in the last 30 years, film set deaths have been...
Because they learned from that...
So much more varied than that.
That Brandon Lee thing. People, I hear that quoted every time I have a gun on a set, or even a little toy airsoft gun. Someone's talking about, hey, did you know this fact? It's like Boromir or Aragorn kicking the helmet on Lord of the Rings. Everyone has that fact in their pocket, right?
What is it? Darth Sidious or whatever.
Because of that.
That story.
It's like,
have you heard the tale of
you
Darth
learn
Sidious?
From those horrible tragedies, and this is going to be hopefully another case of learning from this horrible tragedy and making sure these professionals get hired, not these, you know, amateurs that are hired by the producers last minute
mm-hmm.
who... And lead to this.
Well, I don't know how the just so we're clear, I don't know how the rest of the investigation has gone. But in terms of when that happened, the situation was that it was not a prop weapon that was on set, and it was brought out and it was used just for firing, and then a round was left in it. That's what happened, as far as I know.
Which is like,
but it doesn't matter because you take a real prop gun with a freaking blocked barrel and a quarter load or whatever. It doesn't matter. You still aim that at someone, you still kill them. It doesn't matter the technical details of how it went wrong. The point is that it could go wrong.
Did
no matter,
you know that
like,
if
in a million similar situations too? So it's like
it's the same thing as saying, did
seriously.
You know that if I lifted up a 80-pound camera on a rig and then dropped it on a man, he might die?
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, well, technically it was a 90-pound camera, and it's like doesn't matter,
right?
Right.
Point is, you point it at someone and it goes off.
Well, I just
the end.
I just think, yeah.
Those are the technical details.
I know you. I know you don't want to talk about it, Sam. So we can move on from it. Yeah, but sorry, I thought
I'm
it was
so
important
triggered
to
by this.
I know you are. You're very triggered about it.
It's
you don't have to be this triggered about it. You just need to expect this from people, and then it'll be a lot easier.
It's just sad. It's that's why I'm angry.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
F in chat.
Hopefully it's a learning experience, though. I mean, this will be the new thing that is quoted around all guns, and I think sets will be a lot safer for it. So there is a silver lining to this tragedy.
Anyways,
other news.
How did we get on that? Oh, Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
It all circles back to Nicolas Cage.
I mean, what's he going to do next?
Who's never killed a man with a gun.
What do you... Wait, can we just hypothesize on that for a second? What do you think Nick Cage is going to do next?
Dude, buy some more wacky outfits, probably.
He sold his house, didn't he? He had to sell that.
Which one? He had a castle at one point. He's a collector for sure. I give him props, though, dude. Like, he's living it up. He's
how
living
do you,
his best
how
life.
Do you be that irresponsible with money? It's almost like a talent.
I don't know.
If a movie company pays you $10 million to be in a film, right? So, okay, the government's going to tax you, right? So you're left
it's
over with, what,
lifestyle
six and a half? You're left six and a half. All you do... put that in a stock tracking account, and the interest alone is enough to live very wealthily off of for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but if you're saving the right amounts and not spending, like, you're making $10 million a year, spending $5 million, it's like,
I just, how do you even
you go
spend
like
that
two
much?
To 3 years without making that $10 million
just
again?
Increases, and you need more to fuel the fire. It's like, I need to fuel the fire, my lifestyle with more money.
Money. It's too much.
I was reading about like how Johnny Depp spends like $100,000 on wine. Every
month.
I was like, damn!
Oh my god!
So like, how do you even enjoy it anymore? Like, what does that even mean? Like, are you going on dives to find those old bottles that we've been talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Probably have.
Yeah. Are you going down to find those bottles of not Spider-Man?
Maybe he's the one who found it.
It's just a big.
Is that
ship.
All you can drink anymore?
It's the big spider ship.
Oh man. That's probably is all you can drink anymore. I know, you're right. Like, that's exactly that. I've never thought about it that way. What did you call it? Lifestyle.
The lifestyle creep. Lifestyle it even happens creep. Here. Even happens here. I just remember the first time Jordan brought all the snacks in.
Oh yeah,
Nico was like, you know, this is the kind of lifestyle agreement I can get into.
Yes.
He's looking at all these Pop-Tarts.
By the way, we have corn dogs now.
Yeah, no.
See, look at this. That's what I'm saying.
Corn dogs.
Endless Tito's pizza rolls, man.
Smash. Tito's. Corn dogs.
You gotta get used to not eating these corn dogs, too. You never know when they'll go away.
No, dude, I can't be without it. I will strike if I don't have my
Tito's. That was so funny. I saw Ren. I saw Ren microwaving a corn dog on a paper towel.
Yeah, you're like, we've made it. Yeah.
I was just like, you know, he's having a snack. Like, he brought some corn dogs from home.
Nope.
It's like, no.
Those are company funded dogs.
These are company. These are Corner Digital Brands.
Corn dogs. Can we get a manufacturer to do the little sear on it? The little logo sear.
Oh my
next
god.
Next step, baby. All our snacks are branded.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna start calling
it.
Ren Johnny Depp.
Oh my god.
I can't believe it.
the finest you're corn right. dogs oh, in yeah. the
no,
land.
Look, hey, you're right. You made the point. Lifestyle we're no career. Better.
Yeah.
We're no better. Damn.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Well, quality of life, you know?
I mean, it's better than working in 95 degree temperatures like we used to.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you see. Like, we have the humble beginnings.
Air conditioning? Yeah.
Air conditioning.
I remember 2021. Air conditioning. 2021. Ace, fully functioning ACs. Corn dogs.
What's next?
You want to laugh at that? You want to laugh at that? I had to beg, borrow, and steal to get that freaking air conditioner put in. And that was in 2016.
Yeah.
When we got that thing. And then this one, Nico was like, "Yo, we're not even gonna like be in that room that much. Do we need an air conditioner in there?" And I was like, "Bro,
The first podcasts so were so
yeah, no kidding.
They were so, so lit. Hot.
I was like, why does
everyone sweat?
Fuck, isn't there an air conditioner in here?
Yeah. We've been living the like no AC roughing it life for so long. You know, it must have been kind of a pride thing, you know, like
dude, almost,
we're
you know.
Get weak.
Yeah.
Soft, you're getting soft.
You're right. Soft.
Lay off the corn dogs.
But now we got corn dogs. Maybe we are getting soft, you know?
AC and dogs.
I just got yelled at for playing chess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
For playing chess too loud.
That's the funniest thing ever.
You tone it down.
You played chess too loud, ladies
tone
and gentlemen.
Tone it down.
Oh, God.
It was pretty hype, though.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, y'all.
Look, it's only up from here, guys. Still, the corn dogs are not the peak. I think we can.
I feel like at least like air conditioning and like maybe some freezer corn dogs. That's like pretty normal. That's not $100,000 a month on wine, you know?
No, yeah.
No.
So at least we got that.
And at least we haven't. We're not on like a full Keurig cup.
No,
like K cup system. Yeah.
No, we're on pour over.
Yeah, we're on pour
it's
over.
Pour over, you know, right now.
That's all the rage, though. So,
but that's the thing, you know, the K cup thing. Once we hit that point, oof.
I know. Dude,
I don't want to see
my wife
there.
Keeps
stuck
asking
up.
Me to get one, and I'm like, we got a pour over and a drip. Why do we need a K cup as well?
It's
this
not
is
better.
So superfluous.
No, it's not.
It's way worse. It's expensive. Actually.
And it's worse.
Yeah. And it's
worse. Worse.
And it doesn't work half the time. You're just like, why won't you go?
Right.
It's like, me.
You're like, I'm doing everything correctly.
I like it. You're just like, ugh.
I like my analog pour over. I don't need a freaking machine. Yeah.
You're like, it's like those the coffee guys in Dune. You know, when they all make coffee together, and they're all like, spin up. That's how hearing machines work.
I like the pour over. You can't mess it up.
You
heat up the water, you grind the bean, you put the water through the bean, and it goes into the vase, the craft, and that's it. And you drink it. And it's good.
Yeah, it is good.
Why do we gotta mess it up?
We don't gotta mess it up.
No.
That's how we do it.
We don't touch the coffee.
All right. Well, here's to not messing it up.
Here's 2022. Let's see the new changes coming. Let's see the freezer upgrades.
We'll check in with you.
We're gonna have a personal chef in the kitchen. Just what you want? What you want?
Personal chef.
Cooking up some beef Wellingtons.
And we're gonna create an algorithm based off of your Discord chats.
Perfect.
That will select a wine pairing for you.
Oh, no.
Wait, I just realized that beef Wellington is the ultimate corn dog.
It's the fanciest one.
It's the fanciest corn dog.
Oh my God.
The highest tier corn dog. Sorry.
Corn dog.
Matt, you want a corn dog? Yeah. No. I brought my own.
Wellington on a stick, please, for me.
Do you call that a corn dog? Sorry. Oh.
Okay. Wow, what a cast, everyone.
Yeah, this was, there's highs, lows, and now Dean will come on, sit in my spot and talk about how much he likes superhero movies. It'll all balance itself out.
Let's do that. Let's pitch him and say, Dean, how much do you like superhero
Next
movies?
Time on Corridor
Next
Cast.
Next time on Corridor Cast. Turns out we're actually shooting two casts back to back.
Whoa.
Get ready for part two coming up soon.